Well, let's meet our theatrical guest on the Sunday Supplement this week, and he is Sam James, and he's starring in Monster Raving Loony at the Drum. Sam, hello, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
You look very sane.
Well, I do have my moments. I do have my moments, but for the most part, touch wood, I think I'm pretty sane.
Yeah. Well, now, because the show is called Monster Raving Loony,
yeah,
and Screaming Lord Sutch is a key part, and he's the, you know, you play him. So tell us about the show first of all.
Well, the show it tells the story, the life story of Screaming Lord Sutch, what's brilliant about what James Graham, our writer, has done is he has written a play that tells the story of both Sutch's life, but also the life of Britain in general. From Sutch was born in 1940, and he lived right up until nearly the end of the century. So the period that he was alive is also, you know, obviously a period where Britain was going through huge changes, and as such was trying to find his voice and discover his place in the world, Britain was doing the same. So culturally, you tell obviously the story of the nation at the time through music and through comedy. Yeah. And so the story of Sutch is told through comedy from end of the Second World War right up until the point of his death. So to give you an example, you're not playing Sutch as Sutch, you are playing him as Tony Hancock in an episode of Hancock's Half Hour.
Okay.
Or you're playing him as Adina in an episode of Absolutely Fabulous, or Harry Secombe
right,
in The Goons.
Right, yeah.
Or, I mean, there's so many, Frank Spencer in a Parkinson interview. The list goes on. Only Fools and Horses, Step to Unsung. Yeah. You know, it's all classic British comedies that told the story of who we were,
yes,
at the time, and whilst simultaneously telling his story.
Yeah.
So
and his story is an interesting one, isn't it? Because he had a go at being a pop star.
Yeah, he did. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew, probably as most people would, I knew of Screaming Lord Sutch because of the Monster Raving Loony Party. But yeah, he was a pop star. He worked with some pretty big musicians.
Yeah, he did. And I think if Alice Cooper never saw him, he must have...
Channeled
him, because there's a lot of that going on, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, he was very much a showman, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah.
When you look at the... You know, when you look at footage of, there's some brilliant footage of him performing one of the songs that appeared on one of his albums entitled Jack the Ripper.
Yes.
And he performed that. He actually performed that on Top of the Pops, I believe. And it was very, very theatrical, you know.
Yeah.
He's dressed up in... the outfit he wears reminds me of, do you remember the Phantom Raspberry Blower?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. He kind of, it reminds me of that, you know, that kind of Victorian cape with the top hat. And, you know, obviously he was famous for wearing a top hat anyway, but when he performed the Jack the Ripper, you know, and he was jumping out of a coffin and there's crucifixes and he's got this kind of strange look on his face and he's going up to, you know, young ladies in the audience, and just, it's just...
bizarre, wasn't it? Really,
it's bizarre and it's bonkers, and but that was him. That was
him. And from that, he then became this person who entered elections and by-elections and what have you. And it was always so funny to see the looks on the faces of the serious politicians or candidates when he came up alongside them on Declaration Day and stuff like that.
Well, that's the brilliant thing about it, I think, is that. You know, the idea of democracy being that you have to stand there. It doesn't matter how powerful you are as a politician. It doesn't matter, you know, how if you like, few votes he may get and how many votes you may get. The fact is they had to stand there and share a stage with him. And that, that I think, is a very, very powerful message. You know, it says, I have the right to be here. And he rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way, particularly Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
She felt like it was undermining and tried to, in a roundabout sort of way, as I understand it, you know, prevent him from doing that because it was an embarrassment. But there's nothing, you know, there's nothing you can do. That's democracy.
That's
He's allowed
right.
to stand there.
I mean, one thing they did try and do was to, it brought about the increase in the deposit, didn't it?
Yes, which was an attempt to try and curb the man, but thankfully it was unsuccessful. thankfully for us it was.
It's a fascinating story and one that needed to be told, albeit as you say, it's not just this is his life story, but there's a lot more going on in there. Tell us about you though, Sam. I mean, how did you come to this point? You've been to Plymouth before and you've performed here before, haven't you?
I have been to Plymouth before a couple of times, and I love performing here. I first performed here in a play written by a fantastic playwright called Bryony Lavery. She wrote a play called Stockholm, which was a co-production with a physical theatre company called Frantic Assembly. And it was the story of a couple who seemingly have everything, are seemingly the perfect couple, and what you realised throughout the course of the play, or sorry, I should say the story that we were telling, was that all was not as it seems, and the title of the play both referred to the fact that the female character in the play, it was her birthday, and that they were going to go to Stockholm, but then towards the end of the play it became apparent that you were actually looking at Stockholm syndrome.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the what would you say, the condition, I suppose, where somebody is held captive and starts to sympathize with their captor.
Yes.
Which I understand these days is used not just to define literally a kind of kidnapper and hostage situation, but can be applied to relationships in which there is an abusive partner or actually those people that try to intervene in a relationship of that kind are shut out. They're seen as the enemy.
Yeah.
So that was the story that we told. So very unlike Monster Raving Loony.
Not so many laughs.
Yeah,
in that,
not so many laughs in that. But we actually did. We did that at the Drum, which we then toured for 7 weeks, and then the following year that went to Hampstead Theatre in London, and then in 2009, which was certainly a little more like Monster Raving Loony, Carl Gross, who I understand, I believe Carl might be Cornish. I know he has a real affinity with the Southwest and works in the Southwest rather a lot, and has worked for Knee High who based in the Southwest, aren't they?
That's right, they are.
Carl wrote a horror comedy called Grand Guignol.
Okay.
Which was set in the Grand Guignol Theatre in Montmartre in Paris. And it was the story of a real life murderer that was running around the town killing people. But we told it as the members of the Grand Guignol Theatre Company. And it was, you know, that kind of style of which I always thought of Grand Guignol as the sort of precursor to Hammer horror films. Right. There was a lot of blood and a lot of kind of screams, but it was never, it wasn't like modern day horror. No. You know, you look at it now and there is a kind of comic element to it. It's all very, you know, the crazy scientists.
Yeah, it's very theatrical.
Yeah, very, very theatrical and kind of over the top. And we had a fantastic time on that. Plymouth audiences seemed to love it. So those were the two previous times I've worked down here. So I was really looking forward to doing this, both because I'd read the play, obviously, and just thought this is an immense challenge and one that I would love to take up, yeah. but also because it was working in the drum and working with Simon Stokes, who had directed Grand Guignol. So we'd worked together before, yeah. so yeah. that was lovely. Yeah.
Well, you're here for a good run, I should say, because you're on until the 27th of February, last
we
Saturday.
Are.
So that you'll have got your lines boxed off by the end.
And there are a lot of them. Yeah. Well, till the 27th.
Well, I'm sure you'll have full houses and a lot of people are going to go away with smiles on their faces. It's Monster Raving Loony. It's on at the Drum until the 27th of February. As always, all you need to do is go to the theatreraw.com website. All the ticket office is 267-222. Sam, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for coming in today.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
And come and see us again the next time you're in Plymouth.
I will.